First, second, last verse. Dealing with us about, or if it's some area in which we need to grow, you know, and we got to endure suffering because of that lack of growth. Well, I mean, that's just our sinful nature that we have lacked that growth. So every suffering we have to do is directly related to sin. Right. So, you know, it only makes sense then that God has given us the hope of going to a place where there is no suffering, because there's no sin over which to suffer.
Amen.
There's no reason for suffering in that place. It would make no sense. So I thank God for the hope that He gives us, even as the world looks so dark. You know, that light of Christ, really, if we'll just look at it, He just shines all the brighter in contrast to that darkness. And that's really what He's called us to do, too, is to be a reflection of that light. Because, you know, I was just reading today there it was really funny, I think it's Matthew. But I don't know, what I do at work is I read a few verses at a time at lunch, you know, as I'm eating my lunch. I usually only get 2 or 3 verses, but I don't know, I just pick up where I left off, and I don't necessarily remember exactly where I am. I can't tell you what chapter. But Jesus he said, you know, that He looked out on the people, and they were scattered. He said, as sheep having no shepherd. And He had compassion on those people. His heart was yearning for the people because they were scattered. And they were looking for spiritual direction, and they didn't have it. Because while Jesus was casting demons out of people, the Pharisees were saying, oh, He's casting them out by the prince of devils. So they were trying to look to Jesus, and the Pharisees are trying to run away from Jesus, and they're looking for spiritual leadership, and they had none. And that's exactly where we are nowadays. People are looking for something, and they're latching on to anything, and everything that comes by. And I am so guilty of not being the witness that God wants me to be. I know I am, and I just pray that God would encourage me in that, that He would enable me to do that, because I know I can't do it.
Amen.
That much has been made very obvious to me. But anyway, God has given us a great hope. And when you come pray this evening, who's going to request a prayer book lifted hand? Amen. God sees these. Definitely pray for our pastor this evening. I know He covers our prayers and his family.
Amen.
And I know we all have needs in our lives, and I do appreciate everybody praying for Jan. She's at home right now. I don't know if they ever figured out anything conclusive, but they did determine she's been fighting an infection for just months and months and months. And not really very, very good doctors, I'll be honest. And so it's never really been cleared up, I don't think, because it's the exact same kind of infection. It's the exact same bacteria that's causing the infection. So it kind of makes you feel like that. It doesn't make sense for it not to be the same infection. It's just never cleared up. So what they ended up having to do was get her a home health nurse, and she's taking some IV antibiotics, and they put her in a PICC line. And so she was able to go home, and the home health nurse is able to come out and administer those antibiotics. So just pray that God would get her cleared up. And I don't know what they're going to do about her ear, because they think the prednisone they were giving her down at the ENT to get her ear cleared up was maybe what messed up her sugar, and so I don't really know what's going to go on with all that, but just pray the Lord to help her. That's what, I mean, she just needs God's help. And everybody continue to remember Mom, if she would. She was back at the ER again 2 days ago with more fluid on her lungs, and they're just kind of just band-aiding it until she gets her actual appointments with the heart doctors and stuff, but you know how it is, they drag it out. So, and I know Dad's got to be worried about it, and I know that he knows, you know, to give it to the Lord, but we worry, we do, especially with your spouse, and you know there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it. You know, it's difficult not to worry, so just pray for Mama, and a lot of times she seems to be in pretty good spirits, so but just pray for her if you would. Remember Brother Robert, has anybody talked to him this week? Have you?
I don't know.
Okay, just remember, you said he had another place come up, didn't he?
Yeah, but it said it went away.
Oh, that's right, it went away, so it's the healing from the one that they opened up. Okay, so pray for him and Miss Serena, she's ministering to him there. And now when, you still don't know a date for are you doing, when's the date for your surgery?
March the 7th.
March the 7th, okay. And they're going to put the stimulator in? I don't really know what it is. Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, you're getting one.
it's a nerve stimulator.
It's a little device that they insert in the back of your back.
Yep.
What's it do? Is it with nerve
conductivity? Yeah. To try to fix whatever problem is causing it. Yeah.
Okay. So just
this is just your temporary one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then you'll wear it for a week, usually. And they'll take it out, and then they'll put the permanent one in. Yeah.
Oh, I guess the trials to see if it's going to work?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Well, at least that's usually how it works.
Okay. Thank you, because I know you.
I was just meant to just have her, so. I know she went through. The lady I work with, she just had one.
Oh, okay.
She had all that done.
I was about to say, that's a strange thing to know from a pediatric office, but you know, whatever.
I work in family medicine.
Oh, I thought you was a pediatrician's office.
I used to, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so do remember this, just pray that God would have his will and way in that, but be his will that would be something that would be a help to Miss Vivian.
Yes.
And continue to remember Preacher Billy also, and his cousin Bill Rector, and who else has got a request this evening?
They took him to rehab, so.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, because was he in the hospital?
Trying to get him to walk, he's doing a little better, it's not a whole lot changed.
Okay.
And just took him out of the hospital instead of rehab.
Okay, good, good.
Trying to get him to walk, and he said, I can't walk, been laying in the back, left flying my back about 3 weeks.
Oh, good.
He kind of got ill with him.
I say, because even as young people would have trouble with that, laying in the back for 3 weeks and trying to get him to walk. I do get to stand up from the pew and walk after the service.
My sister Tammy, she had a mammogram today, and they found some abnormal stuff, so she's gonna have to have a biopsy. And she's had some cancerous cells and stuff before, and they've had to take some stuff off. So we're pretty worried about it. So just pray for her.
Amen. I'm sorry, did you say it's your sister?
It's my sister Tammy. Yeah.
Tammy. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Remember this. Jenny, do y'all know anything about the court thing? Was that was this past Thursday, right?
It was supposed to be more, but they've already continued it to next month because the
judge will see it. Oh, okay. I got the wrong Thursday, so it hadn't happened yet. So you said continue to how long?
Till next month.
Next month, okay. So do be in the remembrance of that as regarding Sam and Maddie in custody and everything, so just remember that.
You know, I mean, the Watson family, it's a family in our homeschool group. They've got 5 kids at home, one's in my group, but they also, she gave birth to her little girl, a new little baby last week, and the baby's been in NICU for a while. She's born just a little early and a little small, so it's nothing serious, but the baby's still at the hospital while mom got to go home, and that's just stressful and hard.
Yes.
So, pray for that family.
Amen. Remember this. Remember Derek and Katie, because they didn't say anything about whether they decided, or are they going to just go down to Winston and induce labor, or are they going to wait? And I know they were debating all that. I don't know. Did they say anything?
They're going to induce her soon. And,
okay.
I think that whatever they do, I think that they're going to want to just have a few days for just with dealing with the baby.
Yeah, yeah,
but
sure.
But just, you know, I think they're trying to just, you know, sort of keep it to themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it's coming, so. But they are going to induce her, but pray for
her. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen.
She said Derek was sick.
His grandma passed away yesterday morning.
I don't like to hear that.
Let's go to the doctor's moment, is what Katie
some of these hospitals, I mean, if you sample one time, they're ready to knock you over the head with a shovel and just go ahead and bury it and get you out of the way. I mean, they don't want you in there, which is kind of ironic because it's sort of what they're for. But, you know, I mean, that's just this neighborhood we live in. So definitely remember that. And remember us, Christina's got an appointment tomorrow, just one of the regular checkups or whatever. So I pray that everything would go well with that. Last time they weren't able to hear the baby's heartbeat, but the doctor thinks the placenta was just kind of growing in the way, so they did like a little quickie. I mean, it actually hooked up to an iPad, a little like quickie ultrasound thing, and they were able to see everything okay. So, but just pray that all that will go well tomorrow.
Pray for my Uncle Geraldine Hart. He's in a car wreck, you know, I mentioned Sunday, you know, and he wasn't in the wreck, Sunday was in the wreck, I guess, Thursday or Friday last week. Anyways, I mentioned him Sunday, but he's been in the hospital. You know, he's got broke ribs and he's skin on pieces. He's got a, what was it, mama ripped his spleen?
And broken sternum and broken collarbone. And they're talking about putting him on
the
breathing machine now.
Yeah, goodness. Mm-hmm. Was his lungs hurt?
He's got his lungs are bruised, and he's so broke up. You know, he can't breathe good, and then he's got that touch of pneumonia. And I think they're wanting to make his lungs work because he's, you know, he's in pain. Mm. He can't breathe good.
I got some special requests. I got a friend I might just pray for. I mentioned him before. He's a good friend of mine. I don't know what he's going through, but he's out. He's gone out to himself, and he hasn't for the last while. He's not speaking to me. Not speaking to his family. As far as I know, he don't talk to nobody. He goes to work, comes home, and he tells us to leave him alone. And I don't know what he's going through, but all I know to do is pray for him. I know the Lord's able to help, and, you know, it bothers me that he won't talk to me, but at the same time, it gives me some level of peace because it reminds me that it's out of my hands. And really, you know, it's always been out of my hands.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to leave it with God, you know what I mean? And just pray for him. I'd like to see the Lord work for him. He needs to be saved. Pray God to deal with him and save him. I don't know what it is that's causing all this, but I know the Lord's able to take care of it. And pray for me. I still been having trouble sleeping and having my stomach hurting, which I think I know what's wrong after going to all these doctors and everything else. I think what it is my CPAP machine has either got a leak somewhere or something is causing what they call aerophagia. And I looked this up, and it fits exactly what's going on with me. But what that is it makes you gulp air and get it in your stomach and your gut, and it builds up and just causes severe gas. And anyways, you know, I can't sleep no more about 5 hours, and I start waking up with a panic. And I have to get up and stand upright for it to go away. And so, and it's just catching up to me, you know what I mean? And every now and then I'll get a couple nights of good sleep and I'll be back at it. But when you ain't sleeping but 4 or 5 hours a night, what's bad is you'll be so tired, you'll go to sleep early one night, you know, get to bed at 9 o'clock, and then you're up at 2, you can't go back to sleep, and you'll be up all night, you know, until it's time to go to work. And it's just got me tired. And I think it continued before I got my CPAP machine, I was having these breathing problems because my heart was starting to get out of rhythm. I was starting to go to AFib. But once I got the CPAP machine, it took care of all that. And now, I don't know if it's my heart. What I know is my heart was out of rhythm just the other day. I could feel it. I could literally feel it in my chest. But I'm definitely having breathing problems. I'm having trouble breathing this afternoon. But just pray for it.
Amen.
Remember the Claude Brown family, Claude passed away yesterday. There he is. And that family lives up on the Ring Road.
Is that in Kenny Pfeiffer?
No, it's different.
Different ones? Okay. Yeah. I didn't remember this family.
He lives close to Keith. Right down above Keith here. He was 81 year old, I believe.
That's all right.
He had a real bad problem with his legs, swelling up, and they were cracked up and the stuff loose out of it, you know. He'd been over rehab now for several weeks. He was in pretty bad shape.
Was he in the hangout?
Brothers.
Brothers.
What now?
I asked if he's in the hangout.
That's his brother, yeah.
All right, that's all there is, that's all. Preacher Billy, would you lead us, please?
Our Father, we pray.
Yeah.
David. Remember, we moved our foundation study to, what was it, March the 3rd? Is that the first Sunday? We'll do that March the 3rd, and we'll have our question is going to be, what is good doctrine? Give an example of it. Or what is bad doctrine? Give an example of it. And I'm not looking specifically for the definition of doctrine. The doctrine is simply a belief or a set of beliefs that's taught by, you know, the church or a group of believers in a common belief. And we can have disputes over certain things in the Word of God and certain interpretations of Scripture. We can still have fellowship.
Yeah.
But there are foundational doctrines.
Yeah.
That we must agree upon.
Amen.
And you know, if we don't, then we should help sharpen one another to be able to see it that way, because these are the doctrines that are nothing new.
Right.
They've been taught from the beginning. Amen. Jesus was trying to teach men about himself before he was ever here. Amen.
Yeah.
So we've been preaching on these Wednesday nights, how Jesus manifested himself throughout the Old Testament. It's been called by people the scarlet thread of redemption, the thread that links all of Scripture together, that ties it all in to Jesus. It's all about him. Amen? That's why the Bible says that by him and through him and for him,
yes,
was everything made. Amen. That was made. And so from the very beginning, we were not... He was not made for us. We were made for him.
Amen.
To glorify him. Amen. And so we need to be looking into that. If you have to write that down, write down those questions. What is good doctrine? Give me an example of it. Or you can, and you can do both. Or you can do both. If you want, or you can do one. What is bad doctrine? And give an example of it. And I think that'll help all of us. And I hope we'll get a bunch out that'll be here for that. I'm interested to see, you know, what everybody says and how that they are able to describe those things. But in any case, that's what this foundation thing is about, right? Giving us foundation. Amen?
Amen.
And you might say, well, preacher, I've got a good foundation. Sometimes I thank God that when I come in here and these young ones really humble me. Amen? That's a blessing, ain't it?
Yes, amen.
Amen. I'm tickled to death. I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I think that's a pride that's all right to have in a preacher. Be proud of some of these people in here, these youngs especially, that get in there big,
yeah,
in the Word of God.
Amen.
Open up that precious Word of God. They want to read it.
Amen.
You know, I don't believe they do it to impress nobody. I believe they do it because they're hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm glad Jesus said, them that are hungry shall be fed.
Yeah.
Amen. What a blessing. Be praying much for our revival meeting coming up. The youth meeting, be praying for Preacher Curtis Presnell's. He's prepared.
Hey.
Be praying for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, revival, a lot of times we think about, you know, well, I pray such and such will make it. And we're praying for revival. And we have a burden for revival. But a lot of times we direct our prayers towards everybody else.
Mm.
We need revival in the sense, and we'll pray in the sense that, well, I'd like to see, you know, such and such really get on fire for the Lord. And you know, but we need to be specifically praying for revival for ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. I'm the number one candidate for revival. Whenever I look at myself in the mirror, I promise you, I know me better than anybody.
Yeah.
And I know how much I need.
Amen.
Revival. Amen. That's what we need. That's what we need to be praying very much for, is revival. Let's see, I think that's all we have in the way of announcements. Yep. Does anybody have a special song they want to sing before we get started? Amen.
Oh,
Happy Lick.
Hey, man.
Man.
Talking about that song, talking about the cross of despise by the world. You know, the longer I live in this world, the more I look forward to that day. I do. I look forward to it. You know, the Bible says we're being ready for the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
We always equate that to our walk and where we stand with the Lord, you know, and how that we're living for Him. But have you ever thought about it this way, being just simply wanting Him to be here, wanting Him to come?
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't want that.
Yeah. Amen.
A lot of times we're very happy in this world. We dread death.
Yeah.
It's natural for us to have a fear of dying.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't dread meeting the Lord if we know Him.
Amen. That's right.
We should despise this world just as much as the world despises that cross.
Yeah.
We should despise this world.
Yeah.
We should have our heart set in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. Looking for that day. I'm not looking to go out here and get hit head on by a car. But if the Lord blows that trumpet,
yes,
I'm ready.
Amen.
Because I look for His coming.
Yeah.
This world's pitiful, folks.
Yeah.
This world's sickening. My mom was talking about my uncle. You mentioned talking about them people in the hospital. You know, I'm sure Papa probably told you this. I was talking to him today. My grandpa, that's his brother. And he said that, you know, my uncle was talking really good, and he was very conscious of what was going on. And, you know, he was doing fairly well. He told him that he didn't want to be put on a ventilator. And they told him, you know, the doctor said, well, they didn't think he was able to make that kind of judgment right now. Papa said that he was, and I tend to agree with my grandpa. I mean, he's not a fool, but he said that, you know, they've put him on so much medicines that it's got him so far out of his mind that he probably isn't able to make as good a sound judgments. And he believes that a lot of the reason they put him on that ventilator is he said they've got five different doctors that's constantly having to come in and visit and work on him, and they're just trying to free up doctors. And, you know, that's the kind of world we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, that is. That's the kind of world there's no regard for human life.
Right.
It's no wonder the way that they promote and celebrate abortion, the murder of babies in the most sacred place that they could be in their mother's belly.
Yeah.
I mean, there should be no safer place for an infant. And yet, it's the most dangerous place. You know, there's probably, I would guess that there's probably by far more children killed by abortion than any other factor that kills children. I mean, because there's tens of thousands every single year that are killed. And so, like I said, that's the kind of world that we live in. And I do not appreciate this world.
Yeah.
And the more I live in it, the longer I see things go on, the more I look for Him to come. Amen. And I'm sure, whether I'm now or 80 years from now, I am not going to be living the way that I want to be for Him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be trying. Amen.
Amen.
By the grace of God, I'm going to be trying.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for His coming, not because I presented myself as something worthy, but because the blood of Christ has cleansed me.
Yes.
And I've been found righteous, made in the image of Jesus, because I've been forgiven of my sins, because I've been loved and mercy has been given my way, and grace has saved me.
Amen.
The grace of God. My desire is Him. My desire is heaven. Amen. That's where our desire ought to be. If you have your Bibles, now we'll be in the book of Exodus in chapter number 16. Exodus in chapter number 16. Gather of it every man according to his eating, known or for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it and to the preaching out of it. May, Lord, you be glorified. May the name of your son, Jesus, be exalted. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The scarlet thread of redemption. The times that we see Jesus manifested here in the Old Testament. Tonight, we're going to help and preach on this thought, the bread of life. When we read this here, the reason that he had given them this bread, we read this, preached on this last year, talking about the times Israel complained after they were led out of Egypt. And this is one of the first times that we read that they complained. And the Bible tells us here, it says in verse number 3 of chapter 16, verse number 2, it said, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. We are always hungry, ain't we? And I talk a lot about this. I'm not just talking about us being Baptists, us being big Baptists, but I'm talking about that we're always wanting something.
Yeah.
And that want never goes away. You know, my daddy used to tell me something. He used to say, wanting's better than having. And that's the truth. You want something, you dream about it, you think about it, and you save your money for it, and you wait on it, and you know, you finally get it, and it just ain't never going to feel the way that wanting was. Wanting's better than having. That's the truth. You can want something and get a whole lot more enjoyment without wanting than you can have them when it comes to those things. That's about the truth of it. As soon as you get something that you want, it, you're just going to want something else.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to want for more. That's the way it is. And the children of Israel here were saying that we was getting good enjoyment out of the things that Egypt had to offer. That's what I was talking about, having been ready for the Lord coming. But we get too much enjoyment sometimes out of the things this world has to offer.
Right.
There ain't nothing wrong with enjoying the things in the world, as long as it ain't worldly things, right? As long as it ain't sinful things, there's nothing wrong with having a good time. That's absolutely fine. It's okay to play. It's okay to get out and enjoy yourself or go on vacation or whatever else. But the problem is whenever we develop a bond and a love for this world so much that we're trying to fill ourselves with the things this world has to offer, and we're not hungry for the things that God has to offer. Here the children of Israel said that, now they're talking about literally being hungry, but it equates to the same thing.
Yeah.
He says here, that they said here, we would rather have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. In verse 4, the Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. God gives us things that will fill us.
Yeah.
The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, the Father of lights. Amen. You know something? You might have things that you've earned in life, but it ain't a good and perfect gift.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what a good and perfect gift is? Them children.
Yeah.
Amen. I didn't buy them. I couldn't afford a children like that.
Amen.
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 You know what's a good, perfect gift? My wife.
Yes.
I know I couldn't afford one like that. Lord mercy. If you had to buy a wife with the money I got, you'd be scraping the bottom of the barrel. I'd probably end up with Nancy Pelosi or something like that. But you know, what I'm saying though is every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above.
Amen.
Those are things that God gives. Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't ask for a better wife. I got that wife and I don't want no more.
Amen.
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 I got them three kids and we thought about it, but I'm pretty sure we don't want no more. My daddy used to tell this, mama probably heard him tell this a time or two. He used to say that, he said, I always wanted a boy. He'd tell people this, they'd be pregnant or something, and they'd say, you know, it'd be some one of his buddies or something, they'd be like, yeah, I really hope it's a boy. Because, you know, a lot of dads, they want a boy. They want somebody they can take a hunting fish and all this stuff and other. Preacher Matthew, I think, is going to have a boy, by the way. But in any case, they don't want a boy. But, or they, well, anything, they don't want a boy. But I think that, you know, they're happy either way. But I think they're not going to have a boy. I'm praying they have a boy. But in any case, my dad, he was still, he said he wanted a boy. And said that they had a girl. So they said, well, we'll try again. And said they had another girl. So we'll just keep trying to have a boy. So we finally had a boy. He said, didn't take me long to realize. Should have been happy with them two girls. See, one was better than having. But in any case, every good gift comes from above. Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't, ain't nothing could replace them children of mine.
Amen.
Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing could replace my wife.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't nothing could replace this church. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when God called me to preach, I didn't want to. I said, that ain't the life I want. You know what I want? I want the world. I want everything else. I said, I don't want to have to study that much. I don't want to have to pray all that much. I don't want to have to, you know, go and see people and carry that burden. I just didn't have to carry the burden. I didn't want to be in, I didn't want to be responsible. I didn't want to be in charge. I'm not a very responsible person. My wife don't even let me hardly keep the kids by myself. And so I didn't want all that responsibility for myself. But you know what? Whenever I got to obeying God, one of the greatest gifts I've ever had, nothing is more fulfilling than preaching God's word and pastoring God's people. Nothing is more fulfilling. I could catch, Brother Jesse, I could catch the biggest bass in Lake Murphy, South Carolina, and it wouldn't be as fulfilling as being your pastor, brother. That's what I mean. I mean that with all my heart.
Yeah.
I could kill the biggest bug in Saskatchewan, Canada, and it wouldn't fulfill the way being y'all's pastor is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I could trap a purple coyote, and it would not fulfill the way that being your pastor has. It's the greatest gift that God's ever given. Amen?
Amen.
That's fulfilling.
Yeah.
That's something that gives me fulfillment. Unlike anything else can.
Yeah.
It's, I can't earn that. I can't buy that. I don't deserve that. But God, a good and merciful, loving God, He gives us those kind of gifts. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You ever witness to somebody and you see them come around, they start going to church, or they got saved? You ever been praying for somebody and seen God answer a prayer and come through for it? Ain't nothing fulfilling like that is.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
You could kill all the deer and do all the fishing, and ladies, you could whatever y'all do, pocketbooks and shoes, whatever. You know. Ain't nothing could fulfill like being obedient to God. Amen.
Amen.
He says, I want to see whether or not they will walk in my statutes or no. The Bible tells us in verse 14, it says that when that dew lay upon them, it says when the dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, small as a hoarfrost on the ground. It says, when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is man. For they wist not what it was. Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. God's got food for us. Amen.
Amen.
He's got something for us to eat. He said, this is the bread which God intended for you to eat. This is the thing which God intended to fulfill your life. This is the thing that you ought to
See, this is the thing that you're to collect. This is the thing that you're to put in your basket. And this is the thing that you're to desire and want, because this is the only thing that's going to give you what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I promise you that more vacations ain't going to solve your problems.
Amen.
I can promise you, according to the Word of God, and according to just the fact that I've lived it and I've tried it, and I'm telling you, there ain't a thing out there in this world. There ain't a thing that's fun that you can do. There ain't a thing that you can, there ain't nothing you can, there ain't no drug you can do. There ain't no alcohol you can drink. There ain't nothing in this world that's going to give you, that's going to take the edge off or give you any peace about nothing other than following God.
Yeah. Amen.
He says, I've got something for you to eat. Jesus, over here, in the book of John, in chapter number 6, we see here at the beginning of the chapter that he gathers some, there's some people gathered together there, and he feeds them. And after that, he feeds these people. They're able to gather up. They're able to gather up the fragments, and there's, you know, I forget, 12 baskets and so on and so forth. I'm not getting into all that, but in any case, after that they were fed, they go to him. It says in verse 25, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they came. They said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? In verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They had mortal food.
Yeah.
That's what this world is. Mortal food.
Yeah.
He said, you come and seek in me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you eat of the loaves and were filled. You know, a lot of times we come to church for entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You say, well, I don't come to church for entertainment. I come to church to be fed with the Word of God. Well, really? Well, a lot of times we'll come to church and preacher preaching the Word of God, and we'll leave and not even entertain a bit of it. Mm. That's because we want him to say something funny. I've said some funny things. It's all right to be funny every now and then.
Yeah.
Amen. I like to make you laugh, especially if I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. I don't want you to just completely hate me. But we're not here for entertainment.
Right.
We're here for the Word of God.
Amen.
And he says, I've got word for you. It's here in my word. And he says, I've got things for you that'll fulfill you, that'll give you real feeling. He says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. That means it dies, it goes away. Yeah. You got to eat again. Every time you eat, you just got to keep eating, right? I'm evidence of that you just got to keep eating. But in any case, he says not to labor for meat or food that perishes. That's what we're working for. How much effort do you put into things that are going to burn?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Think about that. You ever thought about that? We look at, you ever see anybody smoking a cigarette? Ain't nobody hardly smokes anymore. Everybody used to smoke. You see somebody, you know, smoking a cigarette. I remember my daddy, you know, he's always real tight with money, and he'd always say, you know, it's a shame they just burn all that money. That's just burning money. He said, that's all it is, just burning money. That's what he called it, just burning money. That's what we're all doing.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to burn.
Yeah.
Look at what you spend your money on. All the television, the internet access, and all the vacations and the fun things and all this, that, and other. And how much do we work for those things? And how much do we labor for them things? And how fulfilling are they? How much do they do for you? Mm-hmm. He said, labor not for that which perisheth.
Yeah.
He said, but for that which will last all the way into everlasting life.
Amen.
I promise you, you'd get a whole lot more peace, a whole lot more comfort. You'd sleep better at night. You'd feel better about it. You'd feel more accomplished if you, instead of spending so much of your energy and effort into everything else, put your energy and effort into prayer, into study of the Word of God, and into sharing it with someone else.
Amen.
Try that. about, you know, when the Lord just gives you an opportunity and opens the door, that's a time, that's a special time whenever God really opens the door, you know, gives you an opportunity, speaks to you, really puts it on your heart to do so. But we're not only called to just wait for that opportunity, we're called to be about Jesus all the time.
Yeah.
Wherever that we go, whoever that we talk to, whoever we come in contact, to glorify God and to point them towards Jesus. Yeah. He says, labor for that meat. Look at what the Jews said to him, verse 28. They said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent.
Yeah.
They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then? What that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They still want the perishable food. They said, well, Lord, if you're really the Lord, then just let us have the bread one more time.
Yeah.
That, a lot of times that's all we want from God. That's a lot of times that's what half of what a prayer life consists of. Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't punish me for the things I've done wrong. And just let me have a good time doing this. Or let me have a good time doing that. Or let this work out for me. Or let that work out for me. Very little of our prayers are earnestly said for the lost. For our enemies. I mentioned, what was it, who, Nancy Pelosi. We laugh about that. She needs prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We've put so much effort. We've put so much drive. We've driven ourselves so much towards acquiring and accomplishing worldly tasks. Most of them, there's nothing wrong with them. I'm not accusing anybody in here of doing anything sinful. But I'm saying that, me included, we seem to do it to the point where it becomes sinful.
Yeah.
Because we're leaving some things undone.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, I think about those that are around us and that are out there that are lost. And I was thinking about talking about Jesus coming back and being ready for him. The one thing that I know more than anything right now, if Jesus comes back, the biggest regret I would have is not sharing the gospel with more people. Mm-hmm. Not telling more people about Jesus. Just imagine if Jesus stepped out on the clouds right now, he blows that trumpet. As we're going up, we're looking down. I don't know. They say it happens in the blink of an eye. What the Bible tells us. Happens like that. But just imagine, if you will, if we could look around and see everywhere's coming up, the ones that's going up. We look over here at this house, we look at that house, and there's nobody coming up. Just right over the road from our house. We will wish that we would have quit our jobs and stood on a corner somewhere and preached the gospel and shouted to the top of our lungs, begging people to repent. We would have wished that we would have acted so radical that they would have imprisoned us just so we would have people that we're locked in with to witness to and tell them about Jesus. That's the notion, that's the feeling that we will have. That'll be the greatest regret that any of us will ever have, is not sharing the gospel with more people. They're still wanting that bread. They said, this. Show us one more time. Just show us one more time that bread. Jesus says unto them, verse 32, brethren, bread I send to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. He said, Moses didn't give you a thing.
Right.
He said, Moses gave our fathers that bread from heaven. He said, let me hold it right there. Let me correct you just a second. He said, Moses didn't give you a thing. What he's saying there is, he said, don't say, preacher so-and-so, you should do this. Hey, listen, if you got something that's from God.
Yeah, amen.
You should talk about old preacher so-and-so, you know, Percy Ray. I love Percy Ray. I love reading about Percy Ray, but I get so sick and tired of people making him a God.
Yeah.
Amen. These people that turns that man into a God. I believe he'd preach their boots off if he's here today over the way that they worship him. I mean, he's got like a cult following. You get out there and you talk to many people. I've heard people, last year my wife knows this story, and he would not stop about Percy Ray. And he said he knew him personally. And he said, oh, if you'd have just knew Dr. Ray, he said, if you'd just knew him, it'd have changed your life. That's what he told me. He said, I knew him. He said, man, I wish everybody could have knew him. He said, if everybody could have knew Dr. Ray, it'd have changed their life. And I said, I know one that did change my life better than Dr. Ray ever could have.
Yeah, amen, brother.
And I still know him.
Yeah.
And you know what the man said to me? Poo. That's what he said to me. So I got to preach. And anyways, he's the family of some of my wife's friends, and bless her heart, she don't get to fellowship with them as much anymore for that, I don't think. But oh well, I don't care. I'm gonna brag on Jesus, amen.
Amen.
He's worth bragging on.
Yeah.
When I'm dead and gone, hey, if I die before, don't listen. Don't sit there and put me on no pedestal. I'm here to tell you, I'm down there with the worst of them. Hey, I got a good God I serve, but
yeah,
amen. He's the one that's good. He's the one that provides the bread. He's the one that provides the blessings. You got a lost soul that was saved by grace, is by His grace, amen. It wasn't because I preached it. He could have called on the rocks out there in the yard to preach the message.
Yeah.
Praise God, it's by His grace and His grace alone, amen.
Amen.
The daughter gets stained with tears. It's because God moved, amen.
Yeah.
It ain't because of the preacher. It's because of God.
Amen.
Moses said, Jesus said, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven. He says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Amen.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And so he's telling them plainly here, that same bread that they eat in the wilderness, he said, that was a bread that sustained and gave life.
Yeah.
He said, I'm the same kind of bread. He says, the true bread is the one that God has sent, the one that gives life. And they understood it. They understood exactly what he meant, because they said to him, verse 34, they said to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They're still on the bread. They're talking, they said that they come across, they followed him after he fed them, they wanted the bread. He preached to them, they said, well, show us a sign, give us bread. He said, the Lord give you the true bread that gives life to us. They said, give us the bread. They're still wanting the bread.
Yeah.
Jesus says to them in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen. The bread I am. You know, let me tell you something about bread. Bread not only fills. That's what happened whenever you got saved. You got the bread of life. Amen.
Amen.
That life, when you ask, life given. Amen. But bread sustains. Amen.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means it keeps you from perishing.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, there's people today out there in the world that's starving to death. It obviously ain't me. But there is people out there that is starving to death. There's children in the world today that's starving to death. It's something that can happen. If you go without food and without nutrients, you will starve.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
He's that life-giving bread. Not only is he life-giving, but he's life-sustaining.
Yeah.
Not only did he save me, when I found out about Jesus, and I realized I was a sinner, and that I needed saving, and that the only hope I had was to repent and believe on the name of the Lord. Not only did he save me, but since then he's been with me. And that same Jesus has sustained me. The reason that I'm not back where I was is because Jesus has brought me through it. Amen.
Yeah.
It ain't because I had the strength of my own. My strength fails me every day.
Yeah.
You say, well, I feel like I've failed. Well, me too. But look at this. It's like I always say, I might not be who I ought to be, but by the grace of God, I ain't who I used to be. Amen.
Amen, preacher.
And I ain't going back. And it ain't because, and that ain't a thing to say that's prideful. I ain't going back not because I know that I'm stronger than that and everything else. Let me tell you something. about me. I don't want to get into all this, but I will tell you this. I was an addict, right? And whenever I was an addict, I got saved. And I said, Lord, I don't ever want to go back to that. I said, whatever it takes, don't ever let me go back to that. And I said, Lord, if it takes me getting sick as a dog, if I was to try, then whatever it takes, Lord, put it on me that I cannot go back to that. And God is my witness. I backslid and I tried and I got sick as a dog. I tried a second time and I got sick as a dog. And the third time's the charm, I got sick as a dog and I never went back. Hey, that wasn't because of me. I was weak and I went back to the same life I was in. But God took care of it. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. He done it all. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us here, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Hey.
You know, whenever we got a baby, we got to give them milk, right? We got to feed them. You ever seen a newborn baby feed themselves? They don't. I don't know how we expect these children just to learn and grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord without we forcing down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Children's church, that bake them cookies and read them a book. Amen? Preach to them.
Yeah.
I appreciate our Sunday school teachers. My kids learn stuff from our Sunday school teachers.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Yeah.
They're teaching them. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what they need.
Amen.
A lot of these churches in Sunday school, you know, it's just, it's arts and crafts time.
Yeah.
And they do arts and crafts, you know, but I'm saying that that ain't all they do. It's got a meaning to it.
Yeah.
You've got to train them. As you get older and they learn to eat for themselves, they feed themselves, you know what happens as you grow? You need more nutrients.
Yeah.
You got to get deeper.
Yeah.
You got to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
You got to get more out of it because your body, you grow. You need more protein, you need more carbohydrates, you need more calories. And the bigger you get, the more you got to eat to sustain that size, right? You say, well, what about when you get older? You don't need as much when you get older. Well, no, but you need even more nutrients. That's why if you look at vitamins for people that are 50 and older, and vitamins for people that are 50 and younger people, the vitamins for people that are 50 and older have like 10 times the amounts. And they say that, you know, it's not as good on your liver and kidneys to take the vitamins when you're younger. But when you're older, you need that kind of stuff and those vitamins. Because your body is aging. And it needs more and more and more of those nutrients. So just because you've been a Christian for a long time and you've read the Bible for a long time, doesn't mean that you can just stop and you can just settle where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You need more.
Yeah.
You got to dig even deeper, amen.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. Don't be content. Don't just settle for the bread that this world's got to offer. I'm glad that we've got not only a feeling bread and a life-giving bread and a sustaining bread, but it's a bread of blessing, amen? It's a bread that gives blessing. I ain't talking about Joel Osteen-type blessing with big houses and fancy cars and having all your dreams come true. I'm talking about real blessings. I'm talking about the things that do sustain. I'm talking about the things that'll give sustenance, amen. They're substantial.
Yeah.
That word substantial, meaning that it has weight to it.
Yeah.
Means that it has gravity. Means that it's something that's able to feel. It's something that's able to take up space. Whereas before, we're searching, we're always wanting. Hey, you don't have to want. Jesus is enough, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Over here in the book of Numbers, we read this before too, but we'll read it again. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 5, the Bible says, and the people spake against God. They've been speaking against Moses and Aaron. Now Moses was God's man. By speaking against him, they were speaking against God.
Yeah.
But now they're directly speaking against God. And against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, where there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. That word for light there in the Hebrew, the meaning, you know, if, how many of you ever read concordance? Have you read concordance?
Yeah.
You got the Hebrew definitions in there? You know, a lot of times the definitions will be like, you'll have like 15 synonyms and it'll be like this long. There's one word for this word. When you look in the concordance, there's one word for that word light. It means insubstantial. Mm-hmm. It means insubstantial. They said, our soul loatheth this insubstantial. They counted the precious word of God, the substance that God provided, the bread of life.
Yeah.
They were counting as something insubstantial.
Yeah.
Meaning that it had no weight. It was insignificant. It was something that was meaningless to them. They said, what's the point of it? If we're not careful, we'll desire Egypt so much that as God's pouring out real blessings in our lap,
yeah,
we'll count it as something meaningless and insubstantial. We need to open our eyes and realize how good God is.
Amen.
How good that He's been, how good that He is.
Yes.
We look and all we want to see is all this bad and all this negative. And we fuss and we go on about the devil and what he's doing. We fuss and go on about where we look at the political sector and how wicked it's gotten. We look at our society and how wicked our society is and all the murder of babies and the celebration of sodomy and all the wicked things that goes on and the child molesters and the rape and all the murder and the robbing and the greediness and everything else that goes on. But we forget that we're still blessed by God. We still have the freedom in this country to be able to go out and knock on a door and witness to somebody and tell them about Jesus. My wife was reading an article to me the other day. It was, where was it at? It was in a Muslim-run country. I can't remember. Do you remember where it was at? I can't remember. But it was shared. They said that they set up, it was a Muslim-run country, and set up a roadblock. And they had a toll. And you had to go through, you could come through, and if you was a Muslim, like you know everybody else mostly in that country, then you had to pay a tax. You had to pay a toll fee for them to let you through. And they had the roadblock. And if you was a Christian, then you either had to convert and become a Muslim and pay the tax, or they'd kill you. And they would kill them. There was people that's standing there. Men standing there with their wives beside them, their youngins, in the car. And they come and they tell them, they say, you have to convert and pay the tax or we're going to kill you. And they won't convert. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you also before my Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were looking toward heaven. They were being fed with more than just bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. We're talking about earthly bread. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Their blessings were not in the things that they had or what they could dream to do in this world, but their mind and their heart were set on the world that's to come. The kingdom that God has prepared for you and I. There's nothing down here that compares to it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
We act like as if heaven is, you know, just like, what do you call that? The credits of a movie. Mm. And that we're in the movie. This is the opening scenes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the things at the beginning when it tells you, you know, who made the movie and all that. Heaven is the movie.
Yeah.
It is the big deal.
Yeah.
And there ain't gonna be no end credits. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
It's gonna go on forever.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we live our lives as if this is the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that heaven is just something that's supposed to follow. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is just something that we're having to put up with until that comes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We should be living for that. Not this down here.
Yeah.
It doesn't fulfill, it doesn't sustain. He is that bread of life.
Amen.
That fulfills, that sustains. I'm about done here. Bible says here in Exodus in chapter number 16. Go back over here. Bible says, verse 31, the house of Israel, Exodus chapter 16, verse 31. The house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. It was good.
Yeah.
They enjoyed it. Amen?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever sat down and read the Bible and thought, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Or what a waste of my time. How many of you has ever sat in a deer stand for a long time out there in the cold and not seen a deer and said, what a waste of my time? You ever done that before? You ever went to the lake bass fishing and not got a bite all day, preacher? Said, what a waste of my time, the things I could have got done. You ever tried to, you know, grow something you didn't have grown before in your garden and it just wouldn't come up? And you say, well, what a waste of time and effort. But have you ever come to church and thought, what a waste of time? Have you ever went and got down in prayer and said, man, I wish I wouldn't even bother? There ain't never been a time. It's good.
Yeah.
Amen. It's always good. As much as I love every night, I think about it every day. You know, y'all don't know how weak I am to them donuts. Y'all, you know, eat them donuts all day. I mean, it's like almost every day I think about it. I'm like, man, I'd like to go down there and get me a dozen. And I can't tell you how many times I've done it. And I thought, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wanted it so bad. And after I done it, I said, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or you go to a fancy restaurant every now and then, you and your lady, and you get there, you order a steak. Honey, how many times have you been to me? I will never do it again. I've been to about 3 real fancy restaurants in my life, and every time I said, I'm going to get the biggest steak they got. And it's like sandwich meat. My mom and Rodney was with us one time. They could vouch for me on that. Every time. And I'm like, it just don't satisfy. Amen? It don't satisfy. And I said, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And I ended up paying a lot of money for nothing. You know. But I've never once. I never give extra an offering plate and said, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's good.
Yeah.
That manna said it tasted like wafers mingled with honey. They said it was good to the taste. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, living for God and serving Him, it's good to the taste. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
It won't never fail. It won't never let you down. You won't never be dissatisfied with living for God. There ain't a time that we sit there and we think everything else is more important than sitting down and reading God's Word, and everything else don't satisfy. And sitting and reading the Word of God, it satisfies. We don't take time to pray like we ought to. We've got too many other things to do, too many other distractions that don't satisfy. They don't give us any bit of satisfaction. We always feel empty after we're done. But sitting down and praying and talking to God, praise God, it satisfies. It gives comfort. It gives peace. We don't regret it. Amen. Going out and witnessing to somebody, telling them about the love of God. We've always think, well, I don't want to sit around and I've got this to do and I've got that to do. We make 1,001 excuses and we can do all them things and they never give us peace and they never give us satisfaction and we always want more of them things. But praise God, if you get out and tell somebody about Jesus, it will give you peace and satisfaction. It tastes good. Amen.
Amen.
The bread of life. Not only is it good for us, but we can enjoy it.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. The bread of life, Jesus Christ. He gave you life. He's fed you. He sustained you. Do you want more of Him, more of Egypt? Do you want the good gift from above? Are you just still trying to get more what the world's got to offer? I tell you, I've spent a lot of time wasting on just fruitless continue to be faithful in serving, to grow in my faithfulness. He's never failed me. He's always been faithful to me, but how I've lacked in my faithfulness to him to execute the calling that he's given me to witness, to read, to study, to pray. I want to not just do better. I want to be better. I want God to grow me and help me. Those things satisfy. Those things give comfort. Those things fill us. Are you full or are you hungry? He said, blessed are they that are hungry, for they should be filled. Another word for that is satisfied. It do us some good tonight to be hungry. Not for the things that don't satisfy or fill us, but for him. As I pray tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you for loving us enough to convict us, Lord, of our failures and our sinful ways. Have mercy on me, God. Help me, Lord, to be more attentive and focused on serving you, making the most of the time, Lord. Lord, I don't know how much longer we've got left on this earth, but I pray, God, that you'd give me an earnestness to want to seek you, to want to grow, Lord, to want to spread your word, your love in my actions, in my words. May everything I do and say glorify me. Thank you for being good to us, loving us, providing for us, being so much better than we deserve. You've provided all of our needs and so much more. We thank you for your mercy that you give us every day. Pray, God, you continue to help us and grow us. Help us to be more like you and less like ourselves, that we may be truly blessed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Noah's got him a new child at Butch's Barbecue Borgman. Go up there and see him and bring him a little bit if you get a chance. They got a good salad, believe it or not, at the barbecue place. They got a smokehouse salad. It's about $7. It's big enough for two people to eat. It's got lots of shredded chicken on it, and it's got cut up eggs and whole pieces of bacon and tomatoes and cucumbers and cheese and all that good stuff. But if you get a chance, go up there and aggravate him a little bit. You ain't got to tempt him to eat. It ain't that kind of place. You just go up there and get your food and go up there and sit down. But I don't think they got enough business to keep him busy. To me, it looked like he was having to find something to do. I said, I'm gonna give Butcher some business. We're going to keep him rolling. I think they paid him pretty good. He did, as soon as they paid him, he needs to work a little harder. So go up there and eat if you get a chance. I paid him a little bit. Amen. He wanted me to make that announcement. I'm kidding. I'll let y'all do better than that. Any case. All right. Is all hearts and minds clear? Brother Glenn Aiden, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord, for this time and the time, Lord, to be able to come together. Thank you, Lord, for the good word that was preached to us this evening. Lord, we just take it mute. We don't bind it up and forget about it. And Lord, we want to take it, Lord, and have it be our thing. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that you deal with each and every one. Keep each one safe, Lord, wherever they go. All these, Lord, that's sick, Lord, we just pray.